Paddy. Look at them, they're friendly lot. Okay. Do you want to hold this?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, just up stand. Close.
Yeah. Just a bit of background about me. I grew up in an estate in Battersea, southwest London. It wasn't the nicest place to grow up. I look at the lives of a lot of my friends now who I grew up with, and I'm very fortunate that I haven't ended up that way myself. I had on my estate, which not a lot of people had, I had a loving home. I had a hard-working mum and dad. I remember a lot of my childhood, my dad working 7 day weeks to make sure we never went without. Very close to my brothers and sister. Proud to say that my brothers are my best mates. And anyone who knows me knows how much I love my sister. One thing I had that no one else on this day also had is I had a Christian mum. So from a young age, I used to go to church morning, evening, and Sunday school in between as well. And from a young age, I realised that God was real because I could see him in my mum's life. I saw the way she lived her life and the way she stood for the Lord. And I saw her lean on the Lord in times of family troubles and continuing to have seen God and still see God bring her through these difficult times. The four of us between us weren't the easiest kids to have. And God's always kept all four of us, and I'm grateful for that. Seeing my mum and hearing God's word every week at church and Sunday school and various Christian holidays and youth holidays I used to go on, I would always get convicted. I'd say from about the age of 7, I can remember thinking about what it was to be a Christian. From about age 10, I used to go to pioneer Christian camps every summer. It was like 10 days away. And I remember every summer I'd be convicted. But as soon as I got back home, it soon left me. I didn't see no reason to think about it any longer. I was popular at school and out of school. Sport got me everywhere I wanted to go, really. Being good at sport meant I was always accepted everywhere I wanted to go. And I saw no reason to change. So I'd hear God's word every Sunday at Ridley Hall, a good Bible teaching church. And every Sunday I rejected it. And every summer I rejected it at Pioneer Camp. At 16, I stopped going to church just because that's sort of what our family tradition was if you weren't a Christian. But at 17, I asked to go to the Pioneer Camp again because it was the last chance to go. If you were 17, that was the last time you could go. It was sort of I think I wanted to go because I thought it would be my last chance to become a Christian because I knew it was right and I knew I wasn't. And on the last night, I was convicted by a talk. And I did make a confession of faith to the Lord and I did think I'd become a Christian. But I was back about a month and I realised it wasn't. And looking back now, it was just a panic reaction to being scared that if I didn't become a Christian, then I never would. So as soon as that happened, I sort of thought Christianity obviously isn't for me. And I went about my life my own way. So I tried to get away from it all, but then I started playing Cheserton for Chesney. So I was around Christians there. And I started going out with a girl from Cheserton Church who, like me, wasn't a Christian, but was from a Christian family.
So now the mount of
continued, really, for the next 3 years.
The cloud appeared.
God, I wasn't. I was surrounded by Christians at football on the weekend.
This is God's voice.
At my mum's, and when I used to go see my girl,
listen.
Christians are getting there. At age, I thought everything was going well. I had a good job, a girlfriend that I loved, my own house. And I thought I was doing all right. I thought this would be me for the rest of my life. Then around Christmas, New Year, 2008, 2009, the girl I was seeing became a Christian. It shocked me, but I knew what she'd done was right. I knew from seeing my mum, I knew what she had was right. And I was happy for her in some ways because I knew she'd be okay for the rest of her life with God with her.
Between Mark 1 and Mark chapter.
I saw this change in her that I'd seen in
the gospel.
And we broke up a few months later.
And now
made me really look at my life.
Hedrin,
I actually had, when I thought I had all this going for me.
In verse 16.
The world lets you down.
Jesus, are you not going to
being a Christian, but I was nervous to do it because I just didn't want to do it as a gut.
Bring in against you.
A girlfriend. I wanted it to be the Lord's work. I didn't want.
Priest asked him.
Again and find out it wasn't true.
Son of the
blessed. A few weeks afterwards, I took a Bible from my mum.
Hangs upon the answer.
The index at the back. hoping for a word.
And you note in verse 6
something, and the word was ignorance that stood out.
Accusations.
And it was Acts 3, verses 6.
This question came.
It's different in this Bible that you use here. My mum uses the other one.
Yeah, this is the right one here. This.
It says, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who is appointed for you, even Jesus. In the New King James, it talks about continue rejecting. In verse 20, it says, you continue rejecting what you have heard from Jesus. And I felt like that was God talking to me at that time. I felt like I'd heard this gospel message so often, and I continued to reject it. And I didn't like being told that. I remember phoning the girl who I was seeing up, phoning her up, and I was probably rambling on. And she told me to read Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6, which is, trust not in your own understanding, but lean on the Lord your God. So I carried on seeking for a while. As I said, I didn't want to do it just because it was like a panic reaction to where my life was at the moment. I wanted it to be God's work. So I was sort of reading through Acts, and it was Acts 8, and it was when Philip was talking to the Ethiopian, and the Ethiopian had it explained to him. And I felt like, again, that was God talking to me and telling me I needed to speak to someone to talk about the things I was thinking about. So I went to see the girl's dad, and I met up with him a few times and talked about things and about Christianity. And I also talked to my mum a few times about it. And what became clear from my talks with them was that I knew what a Christian was. I wanted to be a Christian. But what I was failing to understand was God's grace. I did not think I was wrong, but that just being a Christian was right. I hadn't had a conviction of sin. I just wanted to be a Christian because I knew if I was a Christian, I'd be all right. There was no recognition of God's mercy and grace and what Jesus went through so that I could be a Christian. I asked for a church to go to. I didn't want to go to Ridley Hall or Chesham because I knew people there were praying for me.
that's a good thing.
So that's a bit of pressure, and I didn't want any pressure. I just wanted somewhere where I could go and hear God's words, and so God could speak to me without any other distractions. So I came to Hook one Sunday in July, and the services, they were both about conviction of sin, which was what I'd been struggling to grasp. The second Sunday I came, the service made me quite angry because I hadn't had this conviction of sin and I wanted it. And I went back to my mum's for our Sunday roast, and my mum was in. She never misses church, but she was ill this week, and she was actually there, and it was just me and her. And I remember talking to her and telling her about my anger and my frustrations that I'd been seeking now for about 6-7 weeks, and I still wasn't a Christian. And I remember her saying to me, if it takes another 20 years or another 1 year, you need to be patient if you want to be saved by God. Sort of, I'd been rejecting him for so long and I was demanding it now, and that isn't how it works. It's in God's time. That day, I also had a real difficult piece of family news. I felt like it was partly my fault. Like I should have been able to stop it. It was the weakest I've ever felt. I felt like I'd let my family down a bit. And I knew I could do nothing, despite what I was talking about doing to change the situation. It was what it was. I remember going home on the Monday afterwards, and I was in bed, it was late at night, and I remember praying to God to help my family through this situation. And it dawning on me that I was in no position to ask for help as a sinner. I'd never done anything for God. Why should he turn around and help me out now just because I felt weak and useless? And I just remember there and then confessing my sins to the Lord and asking for him to come into my life. I woke up Tuesday and wasn't sure if I'd become a Christian or not. Like I said, I had a situation before I thought I had and I hadn't, and I was really nervous to tell anyone if I'd become a Christian in case it weren't true. And so I prayed for the Lord to confirm in my heart that I was. And I'd started going through the Gospel of Luke with the girl's dad who I was meeting up with, and I was reading Luke 8 that night, verses 22 to 25, when there's a storm on the sea. And Jesus asks his disciples, where is your faith? And I remember saying out loud in my room, it's with you now, God. That was the night I became a Christian. Since becoming a Christian, my life has completely changed. I've been able to turn to God in times of trouble and have a knowledge that he's there and he answers prayer. I've been able to share fellowship with other Christians. I love life at Hook. And I'm so happy I've been able to give my testimony today to my closest friends and family.
That's great, Paddy. Your life hasn't completely changed. You still play football for Chessington, which we're trying to forgive you for.
Sorry, cut me.